Educated as a child in the courts, or had a juvenile record expunged. 4. Is self-absorbed and feels entitled to do as he or she pleases, even if it hurts others. 5. Proudly flaunts violations of law or rules, brags about crimes committed or people she has duped. 6. Is deceitful, enjoys lying or lies when he doesn't have to. 7. Feels that rules or laws are for others to obey, not for him. 8. Repeatedly violates laws or breaks rules of custom or decency. 9. Recognizes weaknesses in others quickly and seeks to exploit their weaknesses. 10. Has shoplifted in the past, both in youth and as an adult. 11. Lacks remorse and is indifferent to the suffering of others. 12. Avoids or has bragged about not paying restaurant bills. 13. Blames life, circumstances, parents, others, even victims for her actions. 14. Habitually tries to dominate others. Control and dominance play a big part in this person's life. 15. Is referred to as heartless, toxic, obnoxious, without morals, or lacking scruples or decency. 16. Has on several occasions written forged checks or checks with insufficient funds. 17. Takes delight in duping others. 18. Likes to provoke people by bumping into them, staring at them, or saying things. 19. Has abundant self-confidence, but it is reckless or of little practical utility. 20. Doesn't take criticism well, lashes out at others with anger, rage, or threats of revenge. 21. Is or was considered a bully in school or at work, frequently hurting feelings. 22. Is skilled at gaining the trust of others for the sake of taking advantage of them. 23. Uses family, friends, co-workers, and loved ones to provide money, to lie for her, or to provide an alibi. 24. Has started fires that have placed people, animals, or property in danger. 25. Has no hesitation in putting others at financial, physical, or criminal risk. 26. Sees life as a matter of survival of the fittest. 27. Committing crimes comes easily. Is known to have a very long rap sheet, criminal history, with the police. 28. Is at times callous and cold, while at other times is charming and seductive. 29. Falsely claims to be a doctor, professor, or some other professional. 30. Has conned others out of money, property, or valuables. 31. Has sabotaged bicycles, cars, or other things where someone could or did get hurt. 32. Schemes and plans to take advantage of others. 33. Has been cruel to animals as a child or as an adult. 34. Is cynical and contemptuous of others. 35. Is haughty and opinionated and often comes across as arrogant. Some think he is a legend in his own mind. 36. Has been described as being extremely cocky or pushy. 37. Fails to keep appointments, is unreliable or irresponsible, and always has an excuse for failing responsibilities. 38. Plays psychological head games to keep others down, make them feel inferior, or harass them. 39. Considers being respected and having power very important, and lets you know that these things are important. 40. Has used force or intimidation to obtain sex. 41. values you 1 minute and devalues you the next with callous disregard and indifference to past kindness. 42. Overvalues herself and her own abilities while devaluing others easily. 43. As a leader or manager sees workers as minions or lemmings, not as equals. 44. Has lived or lives day to day by committing thefts or other crimes. 45. Encourages others to do things that put them at risk or may be illegal. 46. Seeks to dominate one of these for personal gain, your space, time, body, mind, or what you value. 47. Has destroyed others' property for fun or to get back at them. 48. Trouble seems to follow him everywhere, often called a troublemaker. 49. Has little regard or respect for the property of others or institutions. 50. Has a history of intimidating others to get her way. 51. Often complains of being bored or lacking excitement. 52. As a child, frequently ran away from home. 53. Holds grudges and then acts on them in a mean way. 54. Expressions of remorse seem insincere or contrived when attempted. 55. As a child, was suspended from school multiple times for fighting. 56. Loyalty and care are reserved principally for herself. 57. Fails to accept responsibility for personal acts. Tends to blame others. 58. Thought of as smooth, slick, a charmer, or too good to be true. 59. As a child, repeatedly disobeyed parents, stayed out late, broke rules. 60. Parasitically uses others to provide lodging, food, money, or sex. 61. Claims to have accomplished more than is humanly or logically possible or believable. 62. Had a father or mother who was physically abusive, tyrannical, or indifferent, or was a felonious criminal. 63. Has led an irresponsible lifestyle. For example, can't hold down a job, relationships repeatedly fail, financial obligations are ignored. 64. Has unexplained possessions or wealth. 65. Has a sense of entitlement and thinks he is above others or he can do as he pleases. 66. Displays of emotion appear contrived, performed, or insincere. 67. Is contemptuous of others, especially of those in authority. 68. Has arrogant, condescending attitude with an air of superiority that offends people. 69. People hate working with or for this individual, or have become physically or psychologically sick as a result of working with this person. 70. Stares at you like a reptile. Unflinching, unwavering, cold, having little to say. 71. Uses gaze to stare down, intimidate, or dominate others. Makes you or others very uncomfortable. 72. Has superficial charm, which is attractive at first. 73. Rationalizes stealing from, hurting, or mistreating others. They deserved it. 74. Has had run-ins with the law in youth and as an adult. 75. Intentionally has asked workers or others to bend rules, ignore laws, alter or destroy important records or evidence, or hide information. 76. Has little fear of acting out criminally. 77. Uses aliases, changes identities, or intentionally hides portions of his past. 78. Is impulsive. Suddenly on a lark will act out or commit crimes of opportunity. 79. Fails to plan for the future or to take the future into consideration. Example, spends all the rent or food money or buys gifts for herself and not for the family. 80. Is irritable or aggressive when challenged, reprimanded, or rejected. 81. Seeks to or has kept you or others from associating with or contacting friends, family, or loved ones. 82. Easily bullies or fights with others. 83. Targets the weak, the elderly, children, the gullible, or women for abuse, to gain sexual favors, or to take advantage of them financially. 84. Has a reckless disregard for his own safety or that of others. For example, speeding, driving while intoxicated. 85. Has or is currently intimidating or abusing, physically or psychologically, family, parents, workmates, or friends. 86. Takes advantage of parents by stealing from them, conning them, or selling or pawning their property without their consent. 87. Claims to be in the CIA, Navy SEALs, or other secret or elite service, with no verifiable evidence to prove such claims. 88. Has been rejected for employment or by the military because of failure to pass psychological tests. 89. This person causes a physical reaction in others. People feel their skin react, goosebumps, hairs stand up, make skin crawl, or feel their stomach ache or become acidic. 90. Is aggressively narcissistic, toxic in dealing with others, puts them down, belittles them, or makes them feel bad. 91. Has a history of criminal activity, including extortion, and has gotten away with criminal acts. 92. Is inquisitive about pain, punishment, or torture, or how to effectively kill someone. 93. Has spent time in criminal institutions, detention facilities, jail, prison, halfway houses, etc. 94. Has a history of raping, robbing, or assault with a deadly weapon. 95. Has committed burglary or property crimes, or has stolen cars multiple times. 96. Talks about women with derision, seeing them as objects or whores. 97. Has sexually molested children, touching, exposing self, or thinks about having sex with children. 98. Seems to have poor behavioral self-control. 99. Had a mother who was a prostitute or was in the sex trade. 100. Has sexual preference for children. 101. Practices irresponsible sex, exposing others to sexually transmitted diseases or the HIV, AIDS virus. 102. Has fathered children in various relationships, taking no responsibility emotionally, custodially, or financially for those children. 103. Justifies cruelty or criminal behavior as something that the other person had coming to them. 104. Has jumped bail, leaving family or friends financially responsible. 105. Disappears for days, even months, then reappears without explanation or any accountability. 106. People have commented they feel uncomfortable around him or don't trust him. 107. Expects others to provide alibis, hide or harbor her from justice. 108. Has broken into someone's car, business, or home, or has stalked someone. 109. Rarely, if ever, pays money back to friends or associates. 110. Beats or abuses spouse or children with frequency. 111. Children or spouse avoids or dreads being around him. 112. has spoken or written about having fantasies or thoughts of committing criminal acts or raping someone. 113. Has repeatedly defaulted on loans or credit cards or failed to pay child support. 114. Has or claims to have killed someone, but is not bothered about it or brags about it. 115. Has used someone else's credit card to pay without approval. 116. Seeks to obtain power, sex, or money by other than legal or moral means. 117. When it's time to pay, repeatedly claims to have forgotten wallet, or that his money is tied up in investments. 118. At work, is mean or cruel, yells or screams at subordinates in public. 119. As a parent, is irresponsible, inattentive, uninvolved, callous, or reckless when it comes to children. Failure to nurture, feed, bathe, take to school or to the doctor, etc. 120. Seems detached from others, never really gets close to them. 121. Has left or moved out of state to avoid prosecution, the police, or financial responsibilities. 122. Targets the elderly or the senile specifically for abuse or to con them out of money. 123. Has engaged in producing child pornography. 124. Had behavioral problems even in youth. 125. Is or has been described as sexually sadistic. 126. Has been dishonorably discharged from the military. 127. Love has little meaning. Confuses sex with love. 128. Has rationalized abuse of children with simplistic sayings, such as, "She wouldn't stop crying," or, "It'll make him tough." 129. Lives on the wild side, has bad friends or criminal associates, gang members, drug dealers, prostitutes, pimps, mobsters. 130. Possesses contraband, child pornography, or weapons for criminal use. 131. Is a gang enforcer or leader. 132. Belongs to a criminal syndicate or organization, drug dealer, mobster, crime family, traffics in humans, or is a pimp. 133. Has repeatedly been fired or let go from jobs, even menial tasks, for underperformance, failure to comply, arguing, or for not showing up. 134. Has tattoos or flaunts signs or flags espousing racial hatred, criminal acts, or misogyny. 135. Hates to be disrespected or made fun of, gets very angry and mean when this happens. 136. Doesn't seem to learn from mistakes or experience. 137. Repeatedly takes things of value from others without asking, or steals from stores, shoplifting. 138. Rarely says, "I'm sorry," or only does so when forced to. 139. Rejects apologies of others and holds grudges, which he violently acts on. 140. Has or is working in an illegal, terroristic, or criminal enterprise, such as running numbers, gambling, selling drugs, stealing cars, etc. 141. Has had significant periods of unemployment throughout life despite available jobs or because of incarceration. 142. Has mistreated, malnourished, failed to provide adequate clothing, incarcerated or assaulted children under his or her care. 143. Has used ropes, handcuffs, reinforced room, or other restraining devices to control someone against his or her will. 144, derives pleasure from the suffering or pain of others. 145, appears to enjoy creating psychological discomfort or fear in others. 146, seems to always be angry or hostile or resents the world. 147, has told others about having a dark, mean, or evil side, which may be dismissed by others as just talk. 148, his thinking is very rigid and inflexible. Things must be done his way or he lashes out. 149. Women in his life either have grown to detest or mistrust him, or have disappeared mysteriously. 150. Those who associate with him feel anxious, unsafe, victimized, tormented, cheated, or betrayed. Scoring. Count how many statements apply to this individual based on the criteria discussed at the beginning of this checklist. If you find that this individual has at least 25 of these features, this is a person who will occasionally take an emotional toll on others, is taking advantage of others, may be difficult to live or work with, or may be placing you in financial jeopardy. If the score is 26 to 75, this indicates that the individual has all the features of and behaves as a predator. You have to be very cautious, especially if you are in an intimate or prolonged relationship with this individual, or there are matters of trust at stake. For example, loans, financial transactions, investments, lending of property, access to children. Warning. If the score is greater than 75, this person has a preponderance of the major features of a predator and is an emotional, psychological, financial, or physical danger to you and others. Immediate action should be taken to distance yourself from this individual. Immediate actions. Predators are notoriously resistant to change, or if they change, it's to improve their predatory prowess. In his book, Fatal Flaws, Stuart C. Yudofsky, M.D., notes the difficulty of finding mental health professionals who are highly knowledgeable and well-trained in dealing with antisocial personalities such as these. If that's the case with the pros, what are the rest of us to do? We're left with little recourse but to try to distance ourselves from these dangerous personalities. In my experience, and that of many other professionals, you really need to extricate yourself from individuals like this and seek competent and qualified professional help, if it is needed. I subscribe to the wisdom of the Buddha when he wisely said, "People should learn to see and avoid all danger. Just as a wise man keeps away from mad dogs, so one should not make friends with evil men." For those of us who are not mental health professionals, our best strategies are awareness and distancing. If these predatory individuals don't harm you directly, physically, emotionally, financially, or all of the above, they'll harm you indirectly by harming people you care about or by compromising your community. They can and do devastate body, mind, and spirit. They can ruin you financially or destroy your life with absolutely no concern for what happens to you. You may feel obligated to someone like this because you're married to him, because she's family, or because he gave you a job. Just be aware, however, that your loyalty will not keep you from being victimized, tormented, or financially ruined, no matter what the relationship. That is the nature of the predator. For additional strategies, see Chapter 6, Self-Defense Against Dangerous Personalities. I will close with the warning words of one who intimately knew the ways of the predator. "We serial killers are your sons, we are your husbands, we are everywhere. And there will be more of your children dead tomorrow." Theodore Ted Bundy. Chapter 5. One is bad, two is terrible, three is lethal. Combination personalities. Thus far, we've looked at the different personality types in isolation. The benefit of that has been to more clearly understand these dangerous personalities. However, in reality, dangerous personalities are often composed of more than one personality type. In the medical literature, this is referred to as comorbidity, and it should come as no surprise. After all, we all contain different personality traits. It's what makes us complex and interesting. But when individuals possess features from two or more dangerous personality types, your risk increases, sometimes dramatically. And while the risk increases, as most clinicians will tell you, recognizing the specific personality type can be a real challenge. So to assist the reader, I have used examples from real-life cases to shed some light on the commingling of personality traits among dangerous personalities. The complexity of commingling traits is also why we emphasize reviewing each and every checklist thoroughly in order to assess fully the danger these personalities pose. Additionally, just as our behavior may change depending on life circumstances, so a dangerous personality's behavior can change. Instead of perennially yelling at the child who's acting out, the emotionally unstable personality may one day suddenly shake that child violently or throw the child against a wall. Similarly, the aloof, narcissistic bachelor may marry and become a dominating and dictatorial husband, who is increasingly critical and disparaging. Just as we may change over time, so many factors can contribute to these individuals becoming more unstable, more toxic, and ever more dangerous. The key for us is to habitually assess others for these traits and recognize them for what they are. What we can't assume or naively hope for is that a dangerous personality will, on his or her own, get suddenly better over time. Analyzing the intricacies and nuances of human personalities can get very complicated, and a complete discussion of all personality types is outside the scope of this book. This is where the dangerous personalities checklists can help. As we assess others for their potential for toxicity, instability, or danger, we have to remind ourselves not to get rigidly fixated on one personality type. We must not ignore the possibility that the person in question may fit comfortably into multiple personality categories. This, too, is part of the process, seeing what behaviors fit where. Doing so will give us a better picture of the individual we're dealing with, keeping in mind that certain personality traits, when combined, can potentiate each other, sometimes with horrible results. We see examples daily in crisis situations around the world. I'm sure when accused cop killer and former police officer Christopher Dorner was on the run in early 2013, the Los Angeles Police Department profilers and psychologists were asking, "What kind of personality is he? What will he do next?" Fortunately, Dorner had written a lengthy manifesto that gave us insight beyond what was in his official personnel file. That manifesto revealed, "An individual full of emotional wounding, with a need to dispose of his enemies, paranoia, coupled with his view that he felt entitled to take violent action against fellow police officers and their families to fix what he deemed needed to be fixed. Narcissistic grandiosity." Dorner's manifesto provided critical information. It helped to explain his behavior, and to a certain extent predicted how he would behave in the future. When you're trying to apprehend a highly paranoid individual who narcissistically devalues fellow law enforcement officers, a shootout is the most likely outcome. And indeed it was. Not so rare, combination personalities. From the dangerous personalities checklist instructions in previous chapters, you've learned important essentials about how to be alert to dangerous personalities. Observe the person in question and note their behaviors, the things they say, how they make us feel, what's known about their past, and what others who've interacted with them have experienced and noted. As we'll discuss in Chapter 6, this is part of doing due diligence, objectively assessing what you and others observe, looking for significant indicators that someone may be toxic, unstable, or dangerous. This is our responsibility, and it's both wise and judicious. Now let's expand on this foundation by seeing whether the information we gather might be placed in more than one of the four dangerous personalities checklists. In this way, we'll gain a better sense of the individual's personality type and his or her potential for danger. For instance, suppose we note that Harry talks and acts as if he thinks he's really somebody special. That characteristic potentially fits in three checklists: the narcissistic personality, the paranoid personality, and the predator. But this is just one behavior. So we carefully continue to collect information. How does he treat us? How does he make us feel? What specific behaviors do we see? And we place those actions or behaviors in the specific checklist that applies. Let's say we also note that Harry displays a need to control others, and he has a nasty habit of being vindictive. These added behaviors narrow down his personality type further, and over time we may see a preponderance of features that fit the checklist for the paranoid personality as well as the checklist for the predator. If, through enough interaction with him or through your observations, you eventually find that this fictional Harry has, let's say, 45 or more behavioral characteristics in each of two of the dangerous personalities checklists, this is significant. A person who scores this high on the paranoid personality checklist and the predator checklist can be not just nasty but downright dangerous. The key to a more complete picture is not to try to pigeonhole someone from the beginning, but rather to let the behaviors speak for themselves. Otherwise, you might find yourself blinded to important information, something that can happen even to professionals. And so, as I have said from the beginning, we focus on behaviors, not on statistics or probabilities, and we allocate behaviors to the dangerous personalities checklists wherever they may apply. Suppose we meet someone who's charming, highly confident, and full of grand ideas and plans, but who has accomplished little. And we quickly decide that he fits the narcissistic personality category. Okay, now let's step back and assess that decision for a moment. He may indeed have those characteristics, but slotting him too quickly into a single category may mean that we stop being alert to other information, such as his sudden appearance in town, his apparent lack of verifiable work history and credentials, his transient lifestyle, and his lack of discernible income. All things that fit the predator checklist and could point to a personality with the potential to do serious harm. See Chapter 4. It's that kind of mistake we want to avoid. It's what pilots call target fixation. They get so focused on one target that they miss all the other targets nearby, or they're so fixated on a particular task, landmark, or issue that they plow straight into a mountain. There are, of course, all sorts of possible combinations among the four dangerous personality types. For instance, you can have someone who's highly intelligent, but who is paranoid and narcissistic. Look at the behavior of John McAfee, founder of McAfee Inc., the world's largest antivirus software company, in Belize. One wonders, is that what we're seeing? Someone who moves to a foreign country and, according to one interview, felt the necessity to clean up the place as if the gods had anointed him to that responsibility? That is a characteristic of narcissism. But he also irrationally feared the National Police Force and his neighbors. That is a common trait of paranoia. So we may be looking at narcissism and paranoia, but we can't be sure because we don't have all the facts. So we collect information and place it where it belongs in the dangerous personalities checklist that applies. And we add to each list as information becomes available. Eventually, we begin to get a sense of who this individual is based on his behaviors. Maybe a little of this, maybe more of that at this time, recognizing that the mix may change and vary because we're dealing with characteristics that apply to more than one personality type. We are, after all, dealing with humans. They may be more grandiose and self-centered one day, while another day they display more of the characteristics of a predator. That is what makes humans interesting to study. We act upon life, and life acts upon us. We are never rigidly in one place, and neither are dangerous personalities. Does it matter which personality traits are strongest? Yes and no. It depends on the individual person and that person's traits. But keep in mind that we're not criminal profilers or researchers. We are merely interested in determining how dangerous this person really is. So if someone scores high, above 50, on two or more dangerous personalities checklists, determining precisely which pathology is more prominent isn't essential compared to realizing that a critical threshold has been crossed. And we can say that this person is likely to be very toxic, very unstable, or even dangerous and a threat to you. For example, someone who's highly unstable emotionally and highly paranoid is an extremely difficult person to live with, forever suspicious and lashing out with fearsome regularity. Whether the paranoia or the instability is driving the outbursts is less important than securing your safety. A woman I'll call Amanda wrote me that her husband initially displayed little quirks, as she called them. He'd lash out sometimes, especially if he'd had a bad day. Over the years, according to her, both the instability and the paranoia increased for no reason at all. He became so hyper-suspicious that he'd search her mobile phone for activity and would even check the message pad at home for latent indentations by rubbing a pencil across the surface to see what messages she had written down. Eventually, he became unbearable, especially when the violence toward her escalated from pushing to shoving to slapping to choking. Yes, choking. So what was the predominant feature here, the unstable emotional side or the paranoid side? It's an intriguing question and one that a researcher or a therapist might find of interest, but I can tell you this, Amanda didn't care, and neither do I. Nor should you. We don't live in a laboratory where we can safely experiment, leisurely debate, or validate with absolute precision. We live in a world where spousal abuse is rampant, children disappear and are raped or killed, personal safety is an issue, time is of the essence, and our decisions need to be made quickly in the moment based on what little information is available to us. In essence, we want to be accurate without having to be perfectly precise. If we have to wait to be perfectly precise, it may be too late, as you'll see later in this chapter with what happened to a woman named Susan Powell. Just as Amanda had to deal with her present reality of abuse, and as she described it, the craziness of her immediate situation, so we must deal with our own reality. Amanda's role became one of survival, not one of metrics, measurements, and experimentation. Her immediate concern was not, is my husband 80% of this or 20% of that? Leave such analysis to others, if they so desire. The most important question for you, as it was for her, was, am I in danger? That is the sole purpose of this book, and where the dangerous personalities checklists will help. As you do your due diligence, remember that all of these personality types reside on a broad spectrum that goes from light to dark, low to high, irritating to impossible, difficult to toxic, and even dangerous, and that their place on this spectrum can vary depending on circumstances, life stressors, opportunities, or moods. One way to think about this is to imagine a radio. Play it softly and the music may be almost unnoticeable. Turn it up slightly and you can hear the music more clearly. Turn it up loud and it becomes annoying, even louder and it's painful and almost intolerable to your ears. Turn it to maximum volume and you may damage your eardrums. It is, in fact, dangerous. That's one way to consider these dangerous personalities. How high is the volume right now? Down low, showing few signs? In the middle, annoying or irritating us? Or turned up high where they're dangerous to our well-being? A risk to our health. but to hear anything you have to tune in. It bears repeating. Most people who are toxic or dangerous live under the radar, mostly undetected, with limited or no contact with law enforcement, and even less with clinicians. Usually friends and family, lacking any roadmap for deciphering dangerous personalities, are clueless, don't know what to look for, or are biased in their favor. For example, when asked, a friend of Timothy McVeigh said, "If you don't consider what happened in Oklahoma City, Tim is a good person." And that says it all. There are people who refuse to see what is in front of them, or they're so biased as to be blind. Dangerous personalities thrive in that environment. In the end, there are two truths that you need to keep in mind about all dangerous personalities. We see only what we are prepared to see, and most people will mask who they really are. From doing both criminal profiling and behavioral profiling on national security matters for the FBI, I know that personality types can be challenging to study, especially when dealing with someone who's a complex mixture of two or more personality types. This is where the Dangerous Personalities checklists will be most useful, helping you to decipher what traits stand out in which personality type, so you can more precisely understand whom you are really dealing with. Notable combinations of dangerous personalities. Perhaps the best way to understand those who have major features of two or more dangerous personality types is to look at examples from history and the headlines, since both are filled with the chaos these individuals leave behind. There are enemies out there, but I have the answers. Paranoid plus narcissistic. Let's start with the last century, as that was the century of mass media, giving us a better accounting of historical figures than perhaps at any other time. The first person who stands out has to be Joseph Stalin. Stalin narcissistically craved power and adoration. In Chapter 1, you learned about the many titles he claimed for himself, some of which verged on the ridiculous, and he had whole cities named after himself. But in addition to being narcissistic, Stalin had a darker side, driven by paranoia, and both pathologies were at the extreme, more virulent, acute end of the spectrum, making him highly toxic and dangerous. Given his totalitarian control of his people, security services, and the military, the consequences of this combination were therefore of epic proportions. Imagine killing every human being living in California. That's pretty much what he achieved, killing more than 30 million people. The exact numbers are unknown. His hyper-suspicion led him to shift entire populations, especially the minorities he distrusted. He also had up to one quarter of his top military staff after World War I killed because he didn't trust them. A blindly self-defeating move that put every Russian citizen at risk when World War II broke out and their skills were most needed. Is Stalin a horrifying rarity? Not really. Adolf Hitler, more than 5 million killed, was also pathologically narcissistic and paranoid. So was Pol Pot in Cambodia, known for his killing fields and forced labor, more than 1.2 million killed. Or let's talk recent history. How about Slobodan Milosevic in the 1990s and his xenophobic view of ethnic minorities, especially Muslims and Croats? Or Ratko Mladic, also called the Butcher of Bosnia, accused by the International Criminal Court for the former Yugoslavia in the ethnic killing of more than 7,500 Bosnian Muslim men and boys in Srebrenica in 1995. What all of these individuals have in common is that they were personalities that were both narcissistic, all had grand, violent solutions to problems, and paranoid. They saw enemies everywhere. That made them dangerous enough. But they also had access to security forces and the military, making for the most destructive mixture of all, a dangerous personality with unfettered power. Then there's Anders Behring Breivik, responsible for bombing a government building in Oslo, Norway on July 22, 2011, killing 8, followed by a mass shooting killing 69 teenagers. He too, as the court found, was narcissistic and paranoid. He saw himself as the only person capable of saving his country, narcissism from foreigners, and Muslims, paranoia, so he murdered the innocent in protest. Breivik demonstrated that you can still do a lot of damage even without a standing army if you're a narcissistic and paranoid personality, and you have access to improvised explosives or high-powered weapons. Unfortunately, we have seen this personality type before. Those who are small-bit players on life's stage, but who want to make a name for themselves in history. Their high valuation of themselves, coupled with their paranoia, drives them to extremes. But when no one will listen to them, or if they are rejected, they seek ways to make themselves or their cause known, just as Breivik did. They become large players, perhaps even on the world stage, by the quickest means known, through violence. Long before Breivik shocked Norway, one other highly stubborn, rigid-thinking, and difficult individual with all the features of paranoia and narcissism we have described made a name for himself. First, he tried to do it in April 1963 by attempting to assassinate Major General Edwin Walker, the man who ran against John Connally for Texas governor the previous year while Walker was reading at home in Dallas. When that failed, he only slightly injured Walker. His next opportunity would clinch it. This would be the big leagues, as he always told his wife he wanted to be in. His next target of opportunity, fortuitously, would, according to the route published by the local papers, drive by his place of work on November 22, 1963, in an open limousine. His target, John F. Kennedy, President of the United States. His name, Lee Harvey Oswald, a man who had all the features of the paranoid personality, as well as those of the narcissistic personality in abundance. For most of us, the danger from the narcissist plus paranoid personality is of special concern when the person self-isolates. Over and over, we've seen that when these individuals self-isolate, there is no outside dampening of their outlandish ideas. In isolation, they can fixate on an issue or on perceived wounds, marinating in their passions, hatred, and fears. Unfortunately, their trajectory is usually the same, violence against those they devalue or fear. For example, when Timothy McVeigh was turned down for the Green Berets and was discharged from the U.S. Army, he made the decision to isolate himself in Arizona so he could focus his hatred on the federal government. In that isolation, he planned the bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City. Decades earlier, Theodore Kaczynski, the Unabomber, narcissistic and paranoid like McVeigh, similarly went to live in a remote Montana cabin, where he further refined his hatred of technology, and from where he could build his bombs that eventually killed 3 and injured 23. Pay attention. While I do as I please. Narcissist plus predator. In 2003, I was asked by the U.S. State Department to help the government of Colombia set up its first criminal profiling unit. It was an honor to assist in that endeavor, and the Unidad Especial de Comportamiento Criminal de Colombia remains very active in solving the most atrocious criminal cases in Colombia. One of the first cases I was asked to analyze was that of Luis Alfredo Garavito Cubillos, known as the Butcher of Colombia. Most Americans have never heard of Garavito Cubillos, yet he's the most prolific serial killer in this hemisphere, having killed more than 240 children in a 7-year period. 140 bodies were found. He could not remember where the rest were buried. As we sat down to analyze the case, there was something about the way he looked in one particular photo that sparked my attention. My counterpart from the Colombian government, Luis Alfonso Forero Parra, a brilliant officer and psychologist who now heads the Colombian Criminal Profiling Unit, noticed me pausing over the photo. "Do you see that narcissistic glee on his face?" I asked. "He's just been arrested. And he appears to enjoy the attention he's getting from the media." Funny you should say that, Dr. Forero Parra replied. As he was being led into the jail, he asked, How does my hair look? Sometimes predators are palpably narcissistic. This was one of those times. Indeed, we often see some of the features of the predator with the narcissist. Bernard Madoff, mastermind and architect of the largest Ponzi scheme in U.S. history, who took advantage of his own family and friends, appears to have many of the features of the narcissist, whose behaviors say, I can do anything by any means without restraint, and the predator, whose behaviors say, I will take advantage of whom I can when I can without remorse. The grandiose scale of the plan, the audacity of its implementation, the aloofness and willingness to hurt others, all speak volumes about this multifaceted, dangerous personality. Many people believe that aggressive narcissism is at the core of social predation. In other words, in order to prey mercilessly on others, you have to be able to overvalue yourself and devalue others. It makes sense. To be a Ted Bundy, one has to have a tremendous sense of entitlement and a keen ability to devalue others without any kind of conscience. So when we see a predator with a prevalence of narcissistic features, we can say we're dealing with a highly dangerous individual. A topic we'll discuss further in Chapter 6, Self-Defense Against Dangerous Personalities. Like Ted Bundy, Charles Manson also met the criteria of the narcissist and the predator. From an early age, Manson was a petty criminal, burglar, thief, sexual predator, and a liar who enjoyed manipulating others. He saw himself as a gifted musician, which he was not, and cult leader. But his real gift was exercising godlike control, narcissism over others, taking advantage of them and getting them to commit crimes for him. Predator. He was found guilty of conspiracy to commit the murders of Sharon Tate and Leno and Rosemary LaBianca, along with their companions, which were carried out at his instruction by members of his cult. After 40 years, thankfully, he remains behind bars, a testament to how dangerous he is. If you ever doubt the danger posed by the narcissistic predator, read Helter Skelter by Vincent Bugliosi or Manson by Jeff Gwynn. Then you will understand. Combining 3 or more dangerous personality types. Now let's consider individuals with 3 or more traits. When I look at the behaviors of Jim Jones, the cult leader of Jonestown, Guyana, I find that he certainly had narcissistic traits. His need to be worshipped is clearly narcissistic. But he also had paranoid features and elements of the predator. His need for isolation and his fear of outsiders are clearly paranoid. His narcissistic self-elevation gave rise to inflated notions of the number of his enemies. His taking of people's money and the draconian punishments he meted out are the behaviors of a predator. Ultimately, that punishment included the drinking of cyanide-laced Kool-Aid, which killed more than 900 of his followers. A testament to how profoundly dangerous, narcissistic plus paranoid plus predator, he really was. Sad to say, it isn't that uncommon to identify someone with multiple personality types, especially when studying leaders in hate groups or cults. Recent history gives us several. David Koresh, leader of the Branch Davidians, was similar in many ways to Jim Jones, narcissistic and paranoid with traits of the predator. But then so is polygamist cult leader Warren Jeffs. Until his arrest, Jeffs' cult had been a personal breeding ground that permitted him to have sex with underage girls, with the assistance of their complicit mothers. He fits the criteria for the key features of narcissism in believing that God called him to do this and that earthly laws don't apply to him, and he has no remorse for the despicable things that he does, much as the predator believes. Last, he shunned outsiders or anyone who would compete or disagree with him. Paranoia. He typifies individuals who have all 3 personality types, narcissistic, plus predator, plus paranoid, selfish, manipulative, abusive, and fearful. Perhaps no discussion of this personality triad would be complete without mentioning Al-Qaeda founder Osama bin Laden, whose extreme narcissism and severe paranoia, with flavorings of the Predator, resulted in the 9/11 terror attacks on the United States. It's difficult to overstate the global economic, social, and political impact this single individual had in a remarkably short time. Though, like many of the most dangerous predators, he planned his 9/11 campaign for years with single-minded intent. With terrorists possessing this level of grandiosity, one tends to find few terrorist acts. But those that do happen are huge, meaning events they feel are worthy of them. If they're charismatic and intelligent, they can construct elaborate plans and recruit from other dangerous personalities to carry out the work according to their particular abilities. Vicious predators who get a thrill from killing, or paranoid personalities whose fear and hatred makes them pliant and susceptible to being called into becoming suicide bombers. The Full Monty. Four Dangerous Personalities. It's possible to meet someone who has the core characteristics of all four dangerous personalities to varying degrees. As you can probably imagine, this makes for a highly destructive, unstable individual. Stress and other factors can push this individual to the more extreme and dangerous ends of the spectrum within any of the four pathologies. Hitler certainly exhibited many of the features of the predator, the narcissist, the paranoid, and the highly emotionally unstable personality as the tide turned against him in World War II, and he neared the end of his life. You may think it's rare to find someone who combines all four types, but you'd be amazed at how many people are like that. They sometimes do their damage in a neighborhood, in an office, or in a nearby town, and we don't hear about it. Or if we do hear about it, after they've wrought their particular brand of mayhem, rarely does someone do a psychological post-mortem and conclude, so-and-so did these things because they were a combination of these personality types. It's too bad, because while we routinely perform autopsies to establish the manner and cause of death, rarely are psychological postmortems done on these cases, which could educate us about the real dangers out there. If someone claims it's unlikely that a person could have the acute features of all four dangerous personality types, remember Ugandan dictator Idi Amin. He had all of the acute features we're describing here in varying quantities. Was he always like that? I don't know. And once again, does it matter if that's what he became in the end? The tens of thousands of Ugandans he tortured or killed, and their surviving family members don't care either. What matters is that at some point, something clicked and those behavioral traits became the essence of his personality, and the damage he did was horrific. But these personalities don't have to kill or hurt hundreds or thousands to be dangerous. This type of personality can live in your neighborhood, quite close to you. In her diary, Utah wife and mother Susan Powell detailed some of the things that her husband, Josh Powell, was doing that troubled her. In 2008, she even noted that if she died, it would be no accident. She felt that she was in peril. But she acted too slowly for fear that her husband would take away her children. She was a good observer, but she was hesitant and reluctant to clearly see the danger because she had little to help validate her observations. She hoped that her faith and the church would make things better. Her pious hope did not and would not save her, nor will it save you from a dangerous personality. In the end, Susan Powell mysteriously disappeared in 2009. She is, as she herself predicted, presumed dead. Husband Josh immediately came under investigation, and rightly so, as it's mostly spouses who hurt spouses. When the investigation became more intense and focused on him, Josh moved away. Finally, in 2012, when social workers came to the house, Josh killed his children with a hatchet, and later himself by setting the house on fire. From what witnesses have said and from the writings of Susan Powell in her diary, Josh had features of both a paranoid and emotionally unstable personality, as well as those of a predator and a narcissist. She could not do anything without his permission, he was entitled to do as he pleased. He would lash out at her at will, unfazed by his cruelty toward her, and he would keep tabs on her and question whom she talked to. It was so bad that she had to call family and friends from work so he wouldn't know. Unfortunately,